glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for June 15th. 2023. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend John Walsh. He is a premier Bible storyteller. He's known all throughout Central Illinois, but also around the world for his ability to take a Bible story and relate it through his Bible telling. John will also be a part of a very special Bible telling conference that's coming up in Jacksonville, Illinois. We'll have more information about that throughout the program. Thanks so much for joining us today, John, on Mark and Friends.
Well, Donna, it's good to be with you.
Go over how you got involved in Bible telling.
Well, in the years past, my wife and I were part of, we had our own business, and we were full-fledged workaholics, and we didn't have any vacation time. We didn't take any vacation. We didn't have any hobbies. We just we worked, and we enjoyed our work, and that was fine, and it was just what we did. But it finally, we came to the conclusion that I needed a hobby, and so I was searching around for one. About that time, we went to a citywide meeting where it had all kinds of things going on at the same time, and you got to pick and choose what you wanted. And we saw on the schedule they had a full-time professional storyteller. I'd never heard of such a thing before, and I thought, let's go to that one. And he had several sessions, and we ended up going to all of them. Mm. And now I told stories. I told stories in sermons or workshops or whatever, but the story always was illustrating something. And this guy was just standing there, just telling stories. Didn't illustrate anything. He just one after the other. And after a while, I stutter, so I turned to my wife and I was about to say, I could do that. But before I could get it out, she said, John, you could do that. Mm. I said, yeah, I think maybe I could. So we talked to him afterwards and he gave us all of the connections, how to get in a local support group and how to go to national conferences and get books and even how to get the T-shirt. I mean, just everything. Over time, I realized that Christians need this. Our master is a storyteller, that's what he did. And yet we, as Christians, tend not to use stories so much. But unfortunately, the entire story, the professional storytelling world is a little bit more of the New Age side of things. Huh. And most Christians wouldn't feel comfortable there. And so I decided what I needed to do is write a book and then have a conference or something where we could train Christian leaders to tell stories. And so during that time, I contacted Moody, and I presented to them the idea of me writing this book called The Art of Storytelling. And, well, they bought into it. And in 2003, we came out in January of 2003, we came out with the book, The Art of Storytelling, and they're still publishing it. 20 years later, it's still being published. It's still going out there, and people are still buying it around the world. It's being used in seminaries and Bible colleges and pastors and missionaries and even grandparents that want to do a better job of telling stories to their grandchildren. And in the book, I was teaching them how to embellish Bible stories, how to add more stuff to it, to kind of bring more of everyday life in the whole thing. And but about that time, I came across the concept of storying. And now that's the word story with an ing on it.
Yeah,
storying. And this is a methodology that was being used by missions around the world, by all denominations. It was being used. It was especially good for going into tribal groups or third world nations, especially with the illiterate crowd. And Donna, we're not talking children here. We're talking adults.
Yeah. So, John, walk us through this process of storying.
Well, the first thing you have to do, you have to, as I mentioned, there's many different kinds of storying programs. Bible Telling is one of them, and each one is known for different things. And we're known for having just the sheer volume of stories. What we've done, we have identified all the stories of the Bible, and we have put them into chronological order, which, as you know, the Bible's not written in chronological order.
No.
And we have put them into chronological order. And then we've taken, there's like 400 or 500 stories. But so we've taken all the little ones and we've put them together to make larger type of stories. And taking the larger ones and divide them up into two or three parts. And then we go into the story and we take out the weeds. I call it weeds. What I mean, they need to be in the Bible, but they do not help a story to be clear.
Mm.
Their information, like for instance, when you get into Chronicles, the purpose of the authors of Chronicles is they wanted to make sure everyone knew how the temple fit into everything and how the kings fit into everything and all the offerings and who gave the offerings and who their cousins were and their aunts and uncles and all the, that really needs to be there. But as far as telling a story, you leave that out. And so we basically, we just simply wanted a simple understanding of the story, and mm-hmm. that's the key. And when we get that down, then we simply tell it in a talking format using language rules rather than written rules. When you write a story, there are certain rules that you follow. But when you tell a story, there's a different set of rules. And so we put the written story into a telling format. That makes it easy to go from the lips into the ear. Mm. It flows gently, and people get involved in the story better. And so we went through all the stories of the Bible, and we put it into a telling format.
That's amazing. What a gift to the church. And you've made all of this available online for anyone to access and then use within their own church experience.
Yes, these are, I hadn't originally planned on that, Donna. I have to tell you, I have spent 9 years putting this thing together. And I saw that I could send this to publishers and get this all taken care of. And as a matter of fact, I had created several proposals to send out, and when I got all said and done, one of those times that God spoke to my heart about something, and he said, I want you to give it away. Mm. I thought, oh no, Lord, not surely. Not, I mean, 9 years of, no, I want you to just give it away. Well, there was a whole process I had to go through to get my mind around that. But eventually we put it online, and there it is. Anyone can go to BibleTelling.org. And look for downloads, and they can go down there, and there's all the stories of the Bible as a free download. We also took the time to record all of these, not only audio record, but we also have filmed me telling all of those stories.
Mm.
And that's online as well.
All free.
And you can go to a website called BT, like Bible Telling, BT Stories. .com, and there's all the stories, and it's the film of all of them, and we also have a film of what's the background of each of those stories.
What a gift, because they could either read the story the way you've crafted it, and you've taken, like you said, all the little bits out that doesn't move the story along, so they could use that as they do their Sunday school prep, or they can have you be their Sunday school Bible teller, and then
true.
They can come back in with the crafts or, other little bits and pieces that they'd like to share. But, to have John Walsh in your Sunday school, and it's all free. And again, those two websites, it's BibleTelling.org, but then it's also btstories.com, and we'll have all that information available for you as well.
And not only that, but a lot of people use it in their devotions. We have a service, a story of the day email service, and people can sign up for that free. And we'll send them an email every day, five days a week, and it has a link to the video of me telling the story and in the background. So they can go into BibleTelling.org, and there's a place where they can sign up for the story of the day. And so we will send them every day, 5 days a week, the story, and has the background and the audio, everything. And so we have a lot of people who have told us that they will call that in, you know, on the daily basis. They'll listen to the story, they'll listen to the background, and then they'll open up their Bible and they'll read the story. And they say it's amazing that when they hear the story and they hear the background and then they read it, it just makes everything so much clearer. And I've actually had pastors tell me that they just every year they go through the whole Bible using that method. And so it's been a real tool that the Lord has used.
And now they can sign this up online through your ministry.
Yes, BibleTelling.org.
Now, the reason why I remembered your ministry was because on our website, we have a community calendar, and we have listed your Christian Storytelling and Bible Telling Conference that is going to be taking place at the Lincoln Avenue Baptist Church, and this is coming up June 22nd through the 24th.
It's always the last full weekend in June, or at least it has been for a good number of years.
What can a person expect at this conference? What will they learn? What will they be around?
Our original purpose of it was that we wanted to have a place among the in the storytelling world. There were professional storytellers that were Christians, and we wanted a time where they could just get together and just fellowship. And we just thought this would be a good time to do it. But when we did our first one, when we opened it up, we noticed that we had a lot of non-professional storytellers coming. And we found out that they were coming not to fellowship with other storytellers. They came to get tools, get tools that they can use in their ministry. So we had to real quick, we thought it was just a fluke, you know. So we real quick, and we took all these professional storytellers and we made them, or we had them to do workshops on how to use stories in ministry. And afterwards, we kept hearing that the people would go home and it just changed their ministry. And so that happened 3 years in a row. We finally thought, okay, we got to forget this whole thing. You know, this is something that God's using to equip people in ministry to go back. And so that's basically what it is. You have workshops that are being put on, either individual workshops or general sessions, and they're mostly professional storytellers who are teaching and equipping people. Now, we also have people in Bible telling that would not consider themselves to be a professional storyteller, but they are, from our viewpoint, are professional at telling Bible stories in different types of ministry.
So volunteers, missionaries, educators, church leaders, pastors.
And we have all different kinds of workshops that will help them, either working with seniors, working with prisons, working in Sunday school or church service or missionaries.
Now, there is a cost to this conference, but you also have a free event that's open to the public.
Yes, we do.
That's going to be June 22nd. That's on a Thursday. And you call it a story concert.
Yes, we've always done that on a Friday night, but this year we're going to try something different. We're going to do it on a Thursday night, and that's where we take our speakers mostly, and the people that are doing the workshops, and we just bring them out, and we just have fun, you know. We just tell stories, and just like I, you know, just like when I originally heard that professional storyteller, it's kind of the, you know, during the workshops our trainers, for presenters, are not telling stories. They're helping other people tell stories. They're taking them through. So this gives them a chance to just let down their hair and just have fun and tell some fun stories.
That's wonderful. So again, this is an event that's open to the public.
It is
Thursday, June 22nd, and it starts at 6:45. This is at the Lincoln Avenue Baptist Church, and this is in Jacksonville, Illinois. And everyone knows where Jacksonville is, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump from so many points that are listening here to the Mark and Friends broadcast. But if you need more information on that, again, it's at christianstorytelling.com, christianstorytelling.com to sign up.
Yes.
Well, let's get to the point in the program where you tell a story. And could you tell us one of the lesser known stories of the Bible?
Well, this is, one of the lesser known stories. And there's a good number of those, and I do like to tell those. During the time of the judges, there was a man named Micah who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from his mother. And to his horror, his mother put a curse on whoever it was that stole it. Well, when he heard that, he went rushing to her and gave it back. And she said, Oh, son, I didn't know it was you. I was going to give it to you anyway. Here, take it back. At that point, he did not want it back. And so she decided to take the silver, and she made a little silver idol with it. Mm. And gave it to him and put it in his home. And then he took the rest of the money, and he made certain emblems and certain utensils that could be used in the worship of this thing, and clothes for the priest, and money to provide for the priest. And about that time, there was a young man by the name of Jonathan, and he was from Bethlehem. He was a Levite. And he decided to leave Bethlehem and just go out and make a start in the world of his own. And so he traveled north up into the area that Micah lived in. And he came to Micah's house. And Micah opened up his home to bring him in. And they spent the evening, and they just enjoyed each other's fellowship. And in just a short amount of time, they became close friends. Finally, Micah said, You're wanting to go find yourself and find what you're good at in the life. Why don't you come to my home? I have this idol here, and I need a priest. You're a Levite, and so you could become my priest for this idol. I will provide you housing. I'll provide all the clothes you want, especially all these nice clothes for the priest. And I'll provide all the food. And on top of all that, I'll even pay you a salary. Well, Jonathan thought about that, and, it sounded pretty good. So he decided to do it. As time went by, there were some Danites, people from the tribe of Dan down in the south that wanted to relocate. They weren't happy with where they were at. And so they sent some spies, 5 spies, north to find a new place for their tribe to move. And as they traveled north, they came to Micah's house. So they camped real close to it. Well, Jonathan saw they were there, so he went out and greeted them. They listened to him. They said, "Wait a minute, your accent, you're from Bethlehem. What are you doing here?" Well, he told him about Micah and about the idol, and he said, and he provides me food and lodging and clothes and everything like that, and on top of that, he just gives me a salary. It's just a great deal. They said, "Well, if you're a Levite, then you can ask God, are we going to be successful at what we're doing here?" He said, "Don't worry. You can go on your way. The Lord's going to be with you, and you'll have success at what you're doing." So they went on their way, and they went on north, way up in the northern part of the land, and they came across a small group of people, a village that was in a lush area. That it was well watered. The water flowed down from the mountain, and everything. And yet the people were gentle, and they weren't defended. So they decided that they were going to move up there. So they sent an army of 600 people to travel north and to defeat those people and take over the land before they brought their families up there. So they went and they camped next to Micah's house. And Micah wasn't home at the time, and so Jonathan went out to greet them. And as he was visiting with them, he looked around and realized the 5 men had gone into the house and were bringing things out. And he said, "What are you doing?" They turned to him and said, "Shut up. Now listen to me. You can stay right here and serve that one man, or you can come with us and serve a whole tribe." Well, Jonathan thought about that, and it really did seem like a pretty good opportunity. He finally agreed. So then he went inside the house to help them get everything out that was needed for that idol. Well, Micah came home about that time, and he saw that his priest was gone, his idol was gone, all the stuff was gone, and then he heard that this group of people had come. So he gathered a group of men and chased after the Danites. He came up over the hill, and there they were heading north down below him, and he yelled at them, and he turned, and so they stopped, and they turned, and they said, "Why are you yelling at us?" He said, "Why am I yelling at you? You came into my home, you took my idol, you took everything that went along with it, and on top of that, you took my priest." And they said, "Well, if you keep yelling, we'll take one more thing from you. We'll take your life and the life of all your family." Micah thought about that, and he knew that they were right. So he turned his men around, and he went back home. Well, the Danites went on north. They conquered. They attacked that little village, that area. They killed all the people. They tore down all their houses and built new ones. Then they went home, and they got their families, and they brought them up there, and they settled in that area. And they called the city Dan. Jonathan served them and was their priest for his entire life. And after him, his descendants served the Danites as well in worshiping that idol. Matter of fact, they served it and they worshiped that idol all the way through David and Solomon and all the kings of Judah and all the kings of Israel until the Assyrians came and took them away. Oh, I guess I should mention that Jonathan was the grandson of Moses.
Thanks so much, John, for sharing your gift with us today.
Oh, Donna, I always enjoy being in an interview with you.
Thank you so much, and we'll have you back on.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.